We were told just to not panic and to be patient with the process.
I was happy, man, when they got us off the plane and into the buses.
Who can blame the people when a threatening note was found on a U.S. Airways plane in Charlotte for wanting to get off and make sure that they were okay? And that's what happened. The flight from Buffalo was stopped in Charlotte on the taxiway after they found a scrawled note. There were about 124 passengers on board the Airbus when it landed. Because of the threat, the plane was taxied to a remote area. Passengers were taken off the plane, and most of those people were connecting to other destinations, and they just tried to make sure they got there. But they got to take threats seriously, so who knows if some nut scrawled something, and that ended up leading to a couple of delays. We're not delaying this hour of America tonight. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney. Hope that you and yours and those nooks and crannies are doing well. The job report came out, and maybe you're one of those people trying to find a job and are just exasperated to the point of giving up. They say more people are actually going back to the job of trying to find a job. The September's job report, which had to be delayed a couple of weeks because of the government shutdown, didn't really tell us too much, just that 148,000 people were added, non-farm jobs. The unemployment rate fell to 7.2%. Economists expected 180,000 job additions last month, and they thought that unemployment would be unchanged. So it's kind of, I guess, a wash there. Employment, they say, in trade, transportation, warehouse, construction, that's where most of it rose. The Labor Department's report for August showed only 169,000 jobs were added, and unemployment fell to 7.3%. So because of the backup, October's report, due out a week late on November 8th, will be watched, I think, pretty closely to see if there's any kind of a slump or an effect because of the government shutdown, which that wouldn't be unusual if that were the case. So it didn't, like I said, it's kind of a wash. It didn't tell us too much other than the fact that, you know, some people are probably still looking, and there's just so much that's not in those reports, I think, and with the bated breath that people wait for it, and then what it can do to the market, it's important from that perspective, but it doesn't tell you the underemployed. It doesn't tell you the people who just flat out have given up on looking for a job, and I think there's still a lot of those folks that are out there that are trying to figure out ways to piecemeal actually jobs together. That's happening, you know, more and more. Still the conversation, I think, the buzz in the backyard and yours and mine and wherever you're listening to me is over this Nevada school shooter and what happened, what led this kid to go to school and as a seventh grader and decide that he's going to wound two students, take his own life, and kill a very popular math teacher. The math teacher intervened and tried to, I think, stop him from doing anything and may have actually saved the lives of other kids, who knows, because they got out of the way. So he essentially bought some time. 45-year-old Michael Lansbury, so many are talking about him, the fact that he served the military, did a couple of tours, Kuwait, Afghanistan, and then he ends up dying this way at the hands of a 12-year-old is just such a tragedy, no doubt. They think the shooter might have been bullied. They're talking about that. They say they saw kids pushing him around, doing a lot of mean things to him. Some of the other kids are reporting that. And did it set him off and send him back to school on Monday morning, early in the morning, where to the point where he had enough? You know, who knows, but it's just a big tragedy, and I think a lot of people are talking about this, talking about what the schools should do. We've had many, many guests over the years trying to figure out this riddle, and it's a tough one, because do you send armed guards in? What do you do? How do you crack this riddle? Let's take a few. Let's go to RC in Illinois. Hey, RC, you're our leadoff man. What's happening?
I'm doing Classic 80. By the way, your math's excellent, young man.
There you go.
All right. Anyway,
I think he is great. He's a good. He's a great producer. He does a great job.
Well, good. I'm sorry.
Let's hear it for Matt. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. I'm waiting for the applause. We gave him time to pump himself up.
There.
Yeah. I gave him time to pump himself up, and he didn't take the lane. Go ahead.
Anyway, my heart and prayers go out to all those people, including that little kid who shot those folks.
That was terrible.
And, normally I sit down and just put the radio next to my ear as I'm going to bed, and I'm so fired up, my dear. You were COO of a corporation, were you not?
I was, yes.
All right. Now, listen, if I'm down on even the food chain and I'm a project manager for something and I go to the board meeting, I'm going to have all the information. You're going to have it in your satchel. You're going to, okay, this is where we're rolling.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having a problem with this. It's cut and dry. I'm so tired of hearing about President Obama. What's the Sebelius lady?
Yeah. Kathleen Sebelius, yeah.
The president didn't know. This is his keystone legislation.
Yeah, how can he not ask what's the progress on the website? Boy, I'm excited. The launch is the first, yeah.
Well, in other words, I would follow this like a little puppy dog. I would.
Yeah.
And my understanding is there's daily meetings.
Yeah.
With his staff. And the like. I don't care if he plays golf later on. I just don't want him flying the airplane for him and his wife to have these trips. But that just interrupted me. Why in heaven's name has he not been smart enough to guide this whole process?
I know. I agree, RC. We got to try to sneak Ray in. I agree with you. Absolutely. I was fired up about the same thing because I don't see how you drop the ball on that. Ray, we're almost up against it. I want to give you a chance to say your piece, too. What's on your mind?
I'd like to give my condolences to that family of that Marine yesterday.
Mm.
You know, talked about that last night. Oh, and on the lighter side of things, it is deer season in Missouri.
Woohoo!
And I had to work tonight, so I didn't hunt. But I come home and somebody in front of me hit a 8-point deer.
Wow.
So I spent the last 3 hours cleaning the deer. I had to go to the sheriff's department first, get a tag for it. And I spent the last 3 hours cleaning this deer because in these days and times, you get it how you can.
Boy, that's true, Ray. I'll tell you what, my Uncle Owen used to hunt, and he made the best, deer jerky or venison that I have ever tasted in my life. I am a jerky chick, and it is good stuff. Stay with us, everyone.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
To thank you for being a loyal listener, we have a limited time freebie offer for you. Claim your free heirloom tomato seeds, just pay shipping, right now at 123freeseeds.com. These aren't ordinary seeds. These are heirloom, non-genetically modified super seeds that are open-pollinated and can be grown, harvested, and replanted endlessly. These survival seeds are actually more valuable than gold in a crisis. Go to 123freeseeds.com and you can get an airtight storage packet of 150 super seeds free while supplies last to say thank you for being a loyal listener. First come, first served. Just cover shipping. Go to 123freeseeds.com now to see if your free heirloom seeds are still available. That's 123freeseeds.com.
Everybody knows by now what a big, giant space geek I am, and it's always fun to have Rod Pyle come on America Tonight, and you all know his history. I mean, he's written a bunch of books, he's done a ton of documentaries for the History Channel, of course, and Discovery, Modern Marvels, Apollo 11, people really know that one certainly, but plenty of others as well. I mean, he's such a space expert, and we love having him on, and it's interesting because over the weekend, everybody, at least in my little posse, was talking about gravity, and lo and behold, gravity is making some serious noise at the box office. I mean, just creaming everything that it comes up against. So we're talking about Sandra Bullock and George Clooney, I know they're heavyweight actors, but just two people in the movie so far, and I think it's even a little more than this. It's over $170 million that it's gross. So I also think that people are fascinated by space. Rod, thanks for coming back on the show. What do you think? Do you think people are still fascinated by space and it's not just the Sandra Bullock, George Clooney thing?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question. Thanks for having me on, by the way. I've been reading a lot about this in the popular press and then on, you know, some of the more specialized stuff that I track. And I'm getting the impression that it makes sense, but I think it's less a matter of people still being in space and more a lot of people, especially younger people, saying, I had no idea. You know, if you survey people under 30, you'd be amazed how many of them don't, you know, they kind of know there's the space station thing or something, but they don't realize how big it is, what happens up there, and how difficult it is. And if you talk to somebody about walking in space, they don't realize how challenging it is. So you see this movie, and you see it's amazingly frustrating and difficult. And it took NASA 20 years to get that right. So I think it's besides the fact this is a really fun movie to go see, I really like the fact that it's getting people sort of amped up about it again and thinking, well, maybe this is important after all.
Yeah, it fun movie, but how accurate do you think some of it was?
Well, you know, I mean, they clearly... You know, kudos to these guys for making the movie at all. Kudos to them for making a movie where Sandra Bullock, and this, I don't think it's a spoiler, spends well more than half of it talking to herself, pretty much, because she's, you know, out there alone. Kudos all around. Kudos making a movie that still had the space shuttle in it, for God's sake. That doesn't even fly anymore, but they decided, well, better to be historical than fantastic about the future. So they worked very carefully to get things right. The zero-G stuff, was excellent. They didn't use that zero-G plane that they used in Apollo 13 that actually makes you weightless for short periods of time. They did all that with green screen and wire rigs and the special rig that Sandra Bullock was strapped to. So that worked really well. All the way down to little tiny details, like in the space station, there's a moment where there's a short circuit and a fire starts on an electrical panel. And I had just done, like a week before I saw this movie, 2 weeks before, I'd done this story on these kids at UC San Diego who were doing this experiment to see what happens with flames in zero-G. So I've been looking at all this footage of flames in zero-G. Then I go see Gravity, and my gosh, they got it just right. You know, so a lot of really good stuff. But there's a couple of kind of bonkers moments where if you're there with a kid who passed sixth grade science, they're going to go, no, that doesn't work and that doesn't work. So, yeah, there's a couple of red flag moments. The rest of it's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. Absolutely. I saw it. I'd say the same thing. A few little oops, but some good things. And that's interesting, the timing of you being at UC San Diego and the flames and the zero G. How psyched were the kids in doing those experiments? Were they
No, they were nuts. I mean, they had entered this NASA hosted this competition to do, I think it's called Zero G University or something, where you enter your idea for a microgravity experiment, and they give you time on the Vomit Comet, which is their name for that little plane that does the parabolic arcs. And ultimately, you know, there may be a pathway to getting something flown to the space station if the experiment's good enough. These guys have worked very hard, and, you know, it's a fairly broad field of competition, so there's a lot of other people competing for the few spots they had, and they won, so they all got to go fly on the KC-135 parabolic weightless plane, and they were just having a blast. Unfortunately, my editor, who I work for at space.com, ended up being the one going on the weightless flights, not me. So I wrote the article. Oh. He got to do the fun part.
Oh, lucky for him. Of all the things, because, you know, you have friends at NASA and you've got to do some really interesting things, some of it we've seen. What was your favorite moment? What's the coolest thing that you got to do?
Okay, hold on a second. I've got to let my inner geek out here. Okay. In 1984, I wrote to the people that were just starting up Space Camp, and I said, I want to go. And they said, I'm sorry, it's only for children. And I said, I don't care. And they said, we'll get back to you. So 6 months later, they got back to me and said, we're having our first group of journalists. Come on down. So I paid my money, and I got my powder blue jumpsuit with the NASA patch on it, and I went there. And, I mean, they hadn't worked it out for adults at all, so we literally were sleeping in bunk beds and eating chili mac. So it was really still for the kids. But because this is fairly early on in space camp, they were using old Gemini simulators and, you know, these three-axis spinning things and all this other stuff. They had chairs on air bearings, so you're in this harness, and you're, you know, working your way around a mock-up of the shuttle payload bay. And if you miss a handhold, you're frictionless, so you just go drifting off into the ether. So it was great fun, and I have to say I bought into the fantasy 100%. It was a blast.
Cool. I love that.
Yeah.
What do you think is next for NASA? Because after the space shuttle, you know, we were constantly talking about the shuttle and what was happening, and now not a lot of conversation about NASA.
Well, the conversation is happening in quieter terms between people that are extremely passionate about it, but kind of keeping it down to a low, dull roar because, honestly, the popular media isn't nearly as concerned about it as they've been in the past because it's been so quiet. The problem we've got right now is we're between the shuttle and what's next, as you said. We still got the space station. We have to buy seats from the Russians at about $60 million a copy. Interestingly, they got more expensive the second the shuttle stopped flying to get our people up there and back. And so there's been a lot of discussion about what next. So we had this kind of vague dictum out of NASA saying, well, we're going to put money in the private sector, which they've been doing, but not as much as they said they would. And we're going to develop this space launch system, which is this big new super booster. And so far, they seem to actually be sending some money that way, which is not like what happened with the Constellation program, if you remember that. But it's all kind of ill-defined. We might go to an asteroid. We might go to a Martian moon. We might not go anywhere. We're not really sure. So I'm not going anywhere is not an option. But I think the prevailing consensus in the space community outside of NASA and the people inside NASA that are willing to talk about it is, look, let's let the private sector, like SpaceX, they're doing amazing things, they're going really fast. Granted, they're building on NASA's experience during the space race, but they're doing great things. let them handle this stuff in low Earth orbit, going to the space station, coming back, maybe running the space station, and give NASA what it needs to go do great things beyond Earth orbit. And I think that's the prevailing consensus amongst us in the community. What we have to do is convince more than one presidential administration of it so they don't have to change course every 48 years and not have funding. You know, the Constellation program went well beyond where it should have, given the lack of funding they had. Bush made promises about it, and I'm sure fully intended to support it, but Congress never appropriated the money, so they were running on empty by the time they were canceled, and hopefully that won't happen this time.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. I'm with you. I'm with you on that one, absolutely. I think, you know, you mentioned this hitching the rides, the expensive rides with the Russians. You know, did they really think that out? Did they think that, well, okay, we're going to hitch these rides, and we're going to have to pay for them, but in the end, it'll be cheaper until we decide where we're headed? It just seems like that's a blunder to me.
Well, you know, it's a blunder from the sort of national pride standpoint, but it actually is saving a ton of money, because when you amortize the cost of the shuttle over all the flights, there's a lot of ways to look at the cost. But it was at least a couple $100 million, probably well more. If you amortize the cost of all the shuttle flights over the program with the development cost, it was $1.5 billion per flight, $1 billion with a B. So if we can get three guys up to the space station for, what, $180 million, that's a real bargain. But it does rankle that we're not doing it. And now we've got, it's going to be very interesting in the next 10 years. I mean, the Chinese are moving very quickly. A couple of years ago, they were right around we were in 1965. Now they've got little space station ups. They're right around we were in 1973. They're moving very quickly. And it's going to be very interesting to see if somebody in the American political system says, yeah, I feel a little uncomfortable about this. Not necessarily from a national security standpoint, although that's a concern too, but just from having a little bit of pride about what we've done. And not fiddling around so much about trying to go back. We already went to the moon, but we can't get back there for lack of trying, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that that might be a little bit of a prod, because otherwise, sometime around 2022, they're going to be wandering around our old Apollo landing sites, you know, picking up the flag and dusting it off and putting it in front of their camera, and people in Congress will look at each other saying, how could you let this happen? Well, we all let it happen, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you. The race to space was the big one, but now it's the second lap that we've got to be able to get in front of for sure. Rod, we can check out your stuff at space.com, right?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, I love it. Rod Pyle, thank you so much.
My pleasure, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Heart and Body Extract continues to receive positive testimonials from people who have experienced amazing results, like Reed.
I just wanted to send you a quick but a very big thank you for Heart and Body Extract. I've been on the formula for nearly a month now, and the improvement in the circulation of my legs has been simply amazing.
Reed was facing a tough choice.
I was facing surgery due to the severity of 100% blocked arteries in both my legs. And my decision, waiting for surgery, to say no and try Heart and Body Extract instead, has been thankfully the right decision.
And the result?
I can now walk up steps without noticeable pain.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, for a long and healthy life.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Is there such a thing as gluten-free emergency kits?
Yes. And for celiacs, there is no other than glutenfreeemergencykits.com. If you or a loved one has celiac disease, you need a gluten-free emergency kit to survive. Our kits are natural, non-GMO, low-sodium, low-cholesterol, soy-free, contain no artificial colors or MSG, and carry the Celiac Spruce Seal of Approval. Now get our March Grab-and-Go Bucket Special for only $29.99 at glutenfreeemergencykits.com. Glutenfreeemergencykits.com. Better foods, better living.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
You are now in the crosshairs. The NSA and the FBI are treating you like a criminal and monitoring your every move. Ron Paul said recently, "The evidence of the totalitarian nature of this government is on display undeniably every day. What's taking place right now is a coup and the destruction of the Constitution. Fortunately, there is something you can do about it. Learn how to be invisible, lock down your privacy, and even disappear forever. Go to privacylockdown.com to learn how. That's privacylockdown.com.
Are you someone who forges your own trail? Are you a pioneer with the need to homestead your self-reliant entrepreneur spirit? If so, RF Bunker has a franchise opportunity for you. RF Bunker is the fastest growing emergency and survival retail store in the United States. RF Bunker franchise opportunities are leading the way for business-minded heroes seeking adventure in owning and operating their own emergency supply and survival store. Visit rfbunker.com or call 866-623-2932. This offer is not being directed to any resident of the register required states.
I'm always pumping the fact that you can send in your thoughts to the internet mailbag that we have, like other shows have, but do they have the amount of email we have? I have no idea. It overflows, I mean, in buckets every single day. I'm not kidding you. It pegs into the red. When I sign in, it says storage is full. It's full, so I have to go through it. And we're going to do that. Great news is, right now we're headed to the mailroom.
You have mail, mistress.
Thank you very much. This one from Ginger, who says, "Kate, I was so sad when I turned on America Tonight the other day and I heard you talking about those kids in Nevada. I cannot believe what a crisis this has become, school security. I would not want to be a teacher, I have to tell you right now. I really feel for the teachers, the principals, the parents, the kids. School is supposed to be a safe place. And in a very, very sad, sad way, I think every time someone sends their child out, they have to be thinking in the back of their head when they hear of these stories of either a kid with a gun or somebody else coming into the school, that could it be their child's school next?" Yeah, is it paranoid to think that? Because it's still, if you think of the thousands of schools that we have across the United States, is it paranoid to think that your kid's school could become the target? You have to say no, because You don't know where. Texas, Austin, Texas, Sparks, Nevada, Columbine, Colorado, Newtown, Connecticut. Certainly in sleepy little Newtown, nobody thought that was ever going to happen. Nobody would think that some kid who was an ex-student would come back, kill his mother, come into the school, have, you know, get through the access. I mean, what do you do, though? It's like somebody said the other day, do you have bars on everything? Do you have metal detectors? Which some places already have that. Some schools already have that. I mean, how far do you go and how much fear do you put into the children? I mean, how do you do that? How do you decide, okay, well, we're not going to do that. We're not going to make these kids be fearful of going to school and hearing the stories about other schools and schools that have been compromised and sad things that have happened and making them think that they could be next. But then you got to prepare them, right? So that's, you know, therein lies, I guess, ultimately the problem. Here's one from Joe listening to us in the great state of Illinois. And Joe says, Kate, the answer to the problems that you're talking about with the schools and this latest terrible thing that happened in Nevada is you got to arm the teachers. I think the teachers that are comfortable with it. I don't think you force the teachers, but the teachers that are comfortable with it in states where there's concealed and carry, absolutely. And armed guards, you bet. I think you have to at least have armed guards. If I were a parent, I would help pay for that. If the school didn't have the budget, there certainly are fundraisers. For goodness sake, they sell everything under the sun to raise money for the schools. Why not for that, too? And you definitely involve the parents, the school board, and everybody in between when it comes to the schools. Get all the opinions so nobody feels like it's being jammed down their throat. This one from Peter in Florida, and Peter says, as the father of a 6-year-old and a 9-year-old, as much as I believe in school safety, I don't want to turn my kid into a soldier when I send either one of them off to go and learn. I don't want them to feel as though they're in some kind of a bunker and there is a possibility of whizzing bullets or some unforeseen tragedy happening. Although I will tell you that my children ask me about it and the kids talk and it's been discussed before on the playgrounds when they hear of some school shooting. So they're not naive to the possibilities. But I don't want my kids to become soldiers. Yeah, all right, good point. That's that whole thing that I was just saying. How far is too far? Where do you move the needle? What's the right thing to do? You can't ignore it. You'd have to have safety drills at least. At the very minimum, you got to have some safety drills. However it has to be explained, you just have to have safety drills. And work with the parents, work with the school boards, work with the districts. I think that's the very minimum. And to have an armed guard or two, absolutely. And to not be overly paranoid, but to have a system to be able to know who's in, who's out, for goodness sake, to keep all the doors locked. And then other people will say, well, that's a fire hazard, depending on how big the school is. I went to a big high school. They didn't have the doors locked because it would. I mean, there was 4,000 people in the high school. It would have been a disaster. We had fire drills. We had a few bomb scares, not very many, and people got out of that building quickly. Rick in Illinois. Rick, how are you doing?
Okay.
Hello.
I don't think there is an answer to bullshit.
There isn't an answer. I don't think there's a great answer. Think about when you went to school. You didn't have to think about this, Rick. You were thinking about the cute girl next to you, or you were thinking about getting out of school, or you were thinking about trying out for a team, or anything, getting a bad car, you know, getting a hot rod, whatever it was. But you didn't have to have on your weighing on your shoulders as a high schooler or a middle schooler or elementary school. You didn't have to think about that. That's the shame of it.
Yeah. I think it all boils down to these kids picking on these other kids. Probably what caused most of it.
Well, I think with kids coming to school when that happens, it seems like you're exactly right. The biggest thing that we have to deal with when it comes to kids and when it comes to gatherings of kids, especially at school, it is that whole bullying thing, because too many kids are either committing suicide because they're picked on, or maybe somebody's going to a school, and that's crazy too. You know, people not realizing it. Something has to be done with that as well.
Well, I mean, the bullies, kids turn them in, you know, they could be just picking that stuff up too, you know, get in trouble.
You mean have people turn in the people who, people turn in people who are bullies. Well, I said this the other day. I have a cousin in New Jersey who she's got two kids in school where they had to sign a contract with the school that they wouldn't bully. All the kids have to sign it, and they're really strict about it. And apparently, that's worked out for them so far.
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
Somebody monitors the hallway, you know, make sure stuff don't go on or the locker room.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they definitely have to do that at least.
Yeah, then you talk to extra money, get that fire extra people.
Right, and that's the problem because they're so strapped to the districts.
Oh, yeah. And every school district, they don't worry about the grant.
So what do they do? Because already they've had to cut athletics, or half the teachers are paying for things themselves. So where do you draw the line? Yeah.
A woman told me that $50 for everything her kid does, no one plays sports or any extra activities, it's $50. Everything I can turn around, $50. You know.
Yeah.
Three kids, you know, very make that now.
That adds up.
Yeah, that adds up real bad.
Yeah.
I was getting,
crazy.
I was watching, I was reading the internet the other day, and had their protege, the bimbo, on with the other blonde bimbo, talked to. Yet, I, to this day, ain't figure out what she said, trying to figure out what she's trying to talk about. I think I might get an interpreter for her or
something. You are so bad. Oh, Rick, you are so bad. You're bad. Who's your favorite? Who is your favorite television personality? No, not television. Who's your favorite female politician? Hillary Clinton?
No.
No. She's past her prime. She may be. She may be running for president in 2016, and then she'll do an exclusive interview with Megyn Kelly on Fox, who is the hottest personality right now, I think, there. Or the woman that used to be on The View, who's on The Morning Show now, probably, too. Bill in Mississippi, you have the floor. Hey, Bill.
Oh, hi, yes. My favorite female politician is Marsha Blackburn, congresswoman from Tennessee, and she refuses to be referred to as congresswoman. She says she's a congressman. In any case,
so
what I called for was actually the first school shooting in modern times. I understand that there was something back in the early 1900s, but just before Columbine, in the adjacent city across the Pearl River from Jackson is Pearl, Mississippi. That was the one that preceded Columbine, I don't know, weeks or a few months.
Yeah, yeah.
The thing that stopped it was the assistant principal and got a gun and stopped the killer.
Yeah, so, you know, Bill, to your point, the assistant principal there took action because of the gun. So is the point that other principals...
time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hello, I'm Steve Shank. Everybody's heard the statement that what you don't know can't hurt you. But truth is, what you don't know is the only thing that can hurt you. For example, you might not know how our country's wars can hurt you. Japanese radiation and the Gulf oil spill are destroying your seafood. People don't understand how America's 50-year worst drought is hurting them. Our natural disaster experience has proven relief organizations can't take care of the victims. And there's the huge question of how the government will feed all the people that it's promised to feed with no food. What if we made the whole country into one big neighborhood where we take care of each other by taking care of ourselves? Here's the plan. For every new E-Patch 60-day food supply that you order, eFoods Direct will send a 7-day food supply to each of two families in your name, free of charge. Go to eFoodsDirect.com or call 800-876-0871. 800-876-0871. eFoodsDirect.com.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these specials. A 14-by-21-foot shop for under $6,000 or a 50-by-100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's $5,000. Square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
People are still paying mortgages, paying rent in other places while they're waiting for their homes to be elevated or renovated or rebuilt entirely.
Chris Christie fighting for the people of New Jersey, saying, hey, it's just not working out. We're not getting the money that's needed that should be dispersed to the people. Remember in New Jersey, the courting of Obama, and also in New York, Governor Cuomo also trying to get as much money as he could for New York because those states were hit the hardest when Sandy, when that superstorm smashed into New York and New Jersey in particular, some other states as well, suffered damage, but they definitely suffered the most. So first it was about getting the money, then it was about just not quite enough money, and now it's about processing it and we're not getting that through, and we're still in trouble here. We need help. I guess somebody needs to tell Chris Christie, we are broke, brother. We are. Are you kidding? We just shut down the government, and that cost us $25 billion. So you can shake us down for money, but I don't know that we have that much more money that we can cough up anytime soon because it's just not there. We're barely operating under this budget where we really we're funding the government, but we have to come up with the full plate of funding in January. So maybe you hit us back up again then. And how about the post office? $5.6 billion default. I mean, talk about urgency. There's another urgent matter that has to be addressed. How bummed would you be if you didn't get your magazines, if you still get magazines in the mail? Or that little trot you take out to the mailbox, hoping that you're going to get something exciting, but nobody sends mail hardly at all anymore. $5.6 billion. Yep. That's crazy. And the $5.6 billion, by the way, we're talking about, with all this focus on the government shutdown and how to avoid the debt and all that, they defaulted on a payment for the health care of their future retirees. You know what? They got to dump Saturday delivery. They got to dump it. There's just no way. The infrastructure, the operations, the way we use mail, it's not working. They're doing all kinds of television ads about flat rate boxes that you can get and delivery services. And I've used it. It's good. USPS, baby. Flat, put whatever you want in the box, in the three different size boxes, and we'll deliver it. But it's just been a financial disaster. The business model never, ever was updated correctly when the world was changing, and that's part of the problem. I mean, they're talking about 2013, they're going to have a loss of about $6 billion. They think that they're going to have a bailout of about $50 billion in 2017. And they're not going to have any kind of postal reform this year. I don't think so. So then that's going to probably get pushed more. So how long can they keep doing that, right? They're stuck at this point. Stuck. All right, as I said, we're making the, as we make this final turn here, we're talking about Sandy and the fact that Chris Christie is bemoaning that they need more help. And I just gave the example of, hey, look, here's one little piece of the government that's in trouble. Here's what Philip Castillo said about trying to get the money that he needs, cutting through the massive red tape for rebuilding.
You pay everything yourself, dealing with the mortgage company to release the funds that the insurance already gave you. Extremely stressful. Makes you just not want to fix anything the next time and just get up and leave.
Yeah, if only. A lot of people couldn't do that, though, because it's their home. It's not a second home. It's where they live, and it's along that shoreline somewhere, especially in northern New Jersey. And rebuilding efforts, the cost of it has been absolutely insane. And then the fact that you have to now pay triple, quadruple in some cases for insurance, even if you do, if you're beyond what Philip Castillo is and you've already rebuilt and you've already gotten through the red tape of the insurance money, then it's going to cost you more money in the end to insure your property because of what happened with Sandy. So it's a bad beat all the way around. Isn't it interesting when Sandy first, when they were first talking about Sandy and the fact that it was going to hit New York, it was going to hit New Jersey and what was happening, the storm. Boy, it sure didn't look like it was going to be that kind of storm. And then it was all-night coverage of people getting smashed with waves. Atlantic City, not far from where I grew up, where you had sand all over the streets and boats that smashed into houses and the boardwalk falling apart. So on all ends, both in the south and the northern part of Jersey hit hard. Manhattan, all those areas, Long Island, people without power, and still for them to be in that situation where you're talking about a year later and not getting, in some cases, that insurance money that they should have already been given. Boy, that hurts. But here's the thing. With Christie, I mean, how much juice does Christie have on the Hill? He's in that precarious position because his decision to not keep up the legal fight against gay marriage has upset a lot of social conservatives in the Republican Party. And he's, of course, pushing for re-election next month. And that must matter more, I'm sure, than the 2016 presidential campaign, even though I know he has those aspirations. You can tell when you listen to him in interviews, no matter what he says. So he's got a big lead heading into the gubernatorial election on November 5th. But in an effort to do that, has he hurt his chances in 2016? It could be. Yeah, because he's repeatedly said he's personally against gay marriage, but believes the voters should decide whether it's legal. And he says he supported civil unions and signed a bill, of course he did, earlier this year, banning gay conversion therapy in the state. But he decided not to fight gay marriage through the court after the ruling from the Supreme Court. He decided not to pursue that. Even though he strongly disagreed with the ruling, he dropped the challenge. And so you have a lot of people that he'll need to back him that are saying, well, I mean, you know, will they forgive Chris Christie because he has to be successful in a blue state? Or will they hold it against him when 2016 comes up and his name is mentioned as a potential candidate? You know, would he really do well with the base conservatives anyway? I don't know. And will he really capture the nomination? You know, that's the other question, too. Speaking of elections and getting reelected to positions and whatnot, we've talked about this a bunch when we're looking for who to blame for what happened with the government shutdown, because this is the first full week of the government in action. And 6 in 10 say that Speaker John Boehner shouldn't be the Speaker of the House anymore. He should lose his job. And I would say that probably if we were in the predicting business, which sometimes we are, I would predict that this would be really tough for John Boehner to get that gavel back. I don't think he repeats as the Speaker. I think somebody else ends up being the Speaker next time around, because of the loss of the leadership and control, really, especially in the early stages of that whole shutdown deal. I think he's going to probably bear the brunt of that. A couple of quick reminders about America Tonight. Don't forget, in our third hour of our next show, Nail the Score. And what is Nail the Score? It's where our computer randomly picks the game of the week in the NFL. You call in and tell us who you think is going to win the game and what the final score is going to be. That happens in the last two segments of the third hour of our next show. Last time around, we didn't have a winner. Somebody got pretty close. Most of us thought Denver was going to beat the Colts, and instead it was the Colts 39, Denver 33. Nobody had that exact score. But one person got pretty, pretty close. And as people start to get closer, I usually feel that somebody's probably going to win it. So don't forget, Nail the Score on our next show. Thanks for listening to this hour of ATN.
And the winner of fallback pricing is you. The results are in from Freeze Dry Guy's You Be the Boss, Tell Us What You Want Us to Put on Sale campaign. After getting phone calls, emails, blog, and Facebook comments, nominating your favorite freeze-dried foods and dehydrated foods, you the people, you the bosses have spoken. We the staff at Freeze Dry Guy have listened, as we've done since 1970. So now, one item and one entire line of food are on special sale until the end of October. The entire line of popular non-GMO and gluten-free foods are 20% off. The Family First Responders Kit, loaded with delicious freeze-dried foods like hearty beef stew, lasagna, and mouth-watering strawberries, is roughly 30% off. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com to order, or call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, and make your own deal. Thank you, boss.